You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam,
Nisiaya, and the Skakuya, Talitin, who Musqueam must stay. Hello, listeners of CITR 101.9 FM. Welcome to Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. It is Tuesday. Very excited to be back in studio. Also, loving all of the sunshine, even though I spent most of the day in my nice, cool, shaded apartment. But yeah, this is Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. The show is a bi-weekly book club on CITR. You can always reach me, send me book suggestions. If you want to be a guest, let me know. We're going to move to pre-recorded content, which I know is not as fun, but it allows me to have more guests. And also, I am moving out of Vancouver, so it is what it is. But yeah, you can reach me, Randy, the host, the show, all of it, at email at dog-eared bookclub. No, what is it? Oh, yeah, dog-eared bookclub radio@gmail.com. Or you can reach me on Instagram at dog-eared radio book club. It's my own fault that those are different because I initially made a Gmail account when I first started it like a year ago. And then I accidentally made a business account and I was like, I'm not a business. So I quit that. Anyways, I'm going to stop rambling and I'm going to introduce my guest today. So today I am once again joined by the amazing and wonderful Amanda of Cracking Dot Spines on Instagram. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be back.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun time. So today we are talking about Finn Rhodes Forever by Stephanie Archer. The fourth book in a series, because if you know me, then you know that I don't care about series numbers.
I don't either, honestly. I'll start a series at any, like if I like the trope or if I like the storyline, I'll start a series at any book.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a progressive one, but these are like interconnected standalones. Yeah. So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And I found like, at least in this book, like, and I mean, most of them like interconnected, like different, like if it's like siblings or friend group or whatever, you get like a little bit of an intro to who people are. So
totally.
It's not like you have to know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this is the book. The book we read is Finn Rhodes Forever. So I just want to start off by saying, was I right about this book or was I right?
It was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. Really cute.
I think I sold it really well when I told you that it's like the sweetest book I've ever read.
It was like super sweet, really romantic, like just so cute.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I needed too.
Yeah. I'm glad. I'm really glad. Okay, so we're going to – the show for the listeners that are listening, the show has changed, so it's only going to be 1 hour now, which I know is so sad, but again – you know, 2 hours is a lot of content. If you want to hear more of my thoughts, though, I could create a Patreon and create additional content.
You should do that. You should definitely do that.
But yeah, so – please stick around until 7. But that just means that we're going to move through things a little bit faster, which means less rambling, which is my favorite part of being on the radio. So that's a little sad. But let's get started with my favorite part where I read the description of the book and we decide if it's accurate or not. I anticipate good things for this one.
Me too.
Once again, have not practiced this, so please be patient. The guy who broke my heart is now an arrogant, too-hot firefighter who's hell-bent on getting me back. This summer, I have one goal, fieldwork. I needed to finish my PhD. I never expected Finn Rhodes to offer help. He broke my heart 12 years ago, and now that he's back in town, I want nothing to do with him. Finn wants one thing, me. We were inseparable as kids until everything changed. Now he's all grown up, tattooed, muscled, and unfairly hot, and insists we're meant to be together. I know he'll grow bored of me and this small town like before, but he'll never give up unless it's his idea. I'll pretend to date him, but actually I'm trying to get him to dump me. Between hiking the backcountry and cringeworthy dates designed to turn him off, I begin to remember why we were best friends. Despite how hard I try, Finn isn't interested in dumping me, and now I'm not sure I want him to. Finn's always been trouble, and now he's a different kind entirely, the kind that might break my heart again. Do you think that's an accurate description?
I would say that's pretty dang spot on.
Yeah.
Like, exactly what the plot line is.
Yeah. It's very accurate, but also, I'm like, I didn't realize Finn, like, it would be, like, dual POV mm-hmm. because, like, the description is just from Olivia's perspective.
Right. Yeah.
Which, like, it's fine, you know.
I love a dual POV. It was a nice surprise. Yeah.
It had to be.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh,
Finn
for sure.
Finn is the star of the show.
I loved being in Finn's head, so. He's so cute and funny.
Yeah. So I'm glad they did that. But, yeah. So, I mean, you already kind of gave your initial reactions. But, yeah, initial reactions, I love this book so much. I remember like speed reading this, but literally like reading it in like one day, I mm-hmm. think, because it was just so good. And to me, this book is the perfect example of why I love second chance romances.
I agree. I don't read a lot of second chance romances. I don't know why, like for some reason, I just end up avoiding them more often. But I loved the second chance romance. It was excellent. And I loved, like, the backstory that she gave. Like, it was so good.
Yeah. I think, to me, like, second chance romances. Also, I saw a TikTok today that, once again, was so spot on. They were telling you what your favorite romance trope was based off your favorite Taylor Swift album. It's just so funny. Anyways, my favorite album is Red. And so they were like, your trope is second chance. And I was like, wow. Yeah, you got it. But yeah, I just love because I think you just get a lot more interesting dynamics. And I think you can have like really good banter and like kind of that like enemies to lovers like type scenario mm-hmm. when you have a second chance romance, because they already have so much history that there's so much to build that dynamic off of.
There's a lot of like chemistry that's already built yeah. into the story. And I always love a flashback. Like, I'm a big like flashback fan mm-hmm. or even like a dual timeline. There's no dual timeline in this book, but like just like getting little tidbits from their past, I'm always a big fan of that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So this book, yeah. And also, this book was, again, as everyone knows, it was a TikTok book talk recommendation. That's the reason I read it. I was scrolling through, and this person who I'd never seen before on my feed was like, this is, I don't even know what they said. I probably saved the video, but I didn't rewatch it. But they were like, this is like the best book. And the reason that I think it got me is they said it was the best book in the series. And I'd never heard of the series, and they were like, oh, it's based in like on Vancouver Island in
yeah.
Canada.
I thought that was so
like,
cool.
Yeah, it was like super neat. So anyways, the more I read, and I was like, oh yeah. And obviously, as soon as they tell me it's on Kindle Unlimited, I'm like, yeah, I'm paying $10 a month. Let me get that.
Yeah.
Like, let me read that book. Yeah, and it
really
took me.
Have you read the whole series?
I have not.
Okay.
I think I eventually will. Mm-hmm. I think I was kind of saving it for my summer because I feel like these books.
They do feel
yeah,
summery.
I'm just
sure.
going to, and I'm going to like read them. Like I'm going to want to like read them so fast. Mm-hmm. I feel like just
yeah,
like this
they're
one.
They're devourable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I haven't read them all yet, but I definitely will. Yeah. And I think the other reason that it is so good is because it's like also the reverse Grumpy Sunshine.
Yes.
Where the girl is grumpy and the guy is sunshine. Mm-hmm.
Love a golden retriever vibe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. We
big
always
fan.
Love that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's very like the guy. So Finn is like overwhelmingly in love with Olivia. Like, absolutely nothing will prevent him from loving her. And, like, I always tell people that's what I need in a novel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm going to read a straight novel, you need to convince me that he's
yeah.
in it. Like,
he has to be gone for
yeah,
her.
Yeah, that's it. That's, like, the best way to do. And on, like, the second page, he's like, there's no one else in this world for me but Olivia. And I was like, here we go. I am ready for this.
I love that.
Yeah, it was great. So I think what we should do first is talk about the characters. I love Finn.
Oh yeah, I think we established big Finn fans. Yeah. He was
yeah.
so cute, so in love, like so romantic and sweet. And like I loved how he just like took all of Olivia's antics in stride. Like he's just like
yeah.
went for it.
Yeah. So as we already kind of just or what I read in the plot description, Olivia has kind of created this plan where she'll agree to like fake date him essentially.
It's like a one-sided fake dating
yeah.
trope.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't know that they're fake dating, but she does.
Yeah. And then he catches on like so quickly, and then he's like, okay, right. this is gonna be super fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, basically she's gonna fake date him to get him to dump her. So she does all of these like very like kind of like, I don't know. They're like, we like, I guess like romance novel antics.
Yes,
you know, that's
definitely
the only place you'd find them. So she takes them to this doily museum for a date. Which, like, I don't know if listeners know what a doily is, but it's basically, like, I think it's, like, it's usually lace.
Yeah,
it's
like,
lace
a, it's like
it?
A crocheted or handcrafted, like, lace placemat.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's...
Your grandma has one,
I
guarantee.
Yeah, if you go to grandma's house, she'll have one.
Yeah.
They're not overly exciting. That's, like, the point of it. So imagine going to a doily museum.
Yes.
Which I think is so cute that it's in this town.
I think that's so cute, and it's so cute that Finn, like, visited the doily museum owner afterwards.
I know.
To learn how to make a doily.
Yeah.
So cute.
That's adorable. But, yeah, and then she cuts her own hair at one point.
She does. Yeah, she cuts, like a rat's nest on her head. She wears, like, this really, like, crazy frilly dress to a double date.
She also wears a oversized T-shirt with a poop emoji on
it. Oh, yeah, she did that,
dates.
Yeah, to their date. And then she took him to a sexy book club.
That was
where
amazing.
Where his mother was at. And that was probably my favorite scene throughout the entire book, but I'll assume we'll get there later.
Yeah, I do have a part for favorite scenes. Yeah, and then the terrible date, which we can also talk about, the double date with the, what is it?
The Thompsons.
The Thompsons.
Yeah.
Which, oh my gosh. The secondhand embarrassment when you got reading that scene. But yeah, no, he was just like very honest the entire book with Olivia. He very much, like, he laid out at every point what he wanted and like that he was willing to wait and like he would work for it, but he wasn't going to leave, which he did previously. Yeah, no, I think he's the standard.
I agree. He showed and told. Like, he
exactly.
told her what he was going to do, and he followed through, and I loved that about him.
Yeah, and I think for me, it's, like, a big thing reading romance novels, and I never thought about it too much until I started this show, and then I had this section for, like, romantic parts, and sometimes I couldn't fill it for even romance novels, because I was like, did they actually do an action that, like, came across as, like, heartfelt, romantic, caring, other than just like saying I love you and like in some grand declaration. And sometimes I couldn't do it. This book, there was too many. I was like,
so many.
I was reviewing my highlights today and I was like, right, and I was like, that's enough, Randy. Like, that's enough to get the point across. You don't have to write down every single one. Yeah, no, he's pretty amazing.
Yeah,
big fan. Yeah. I also think what's interesting, so his kind of, I guess, growth, like character growth, is that growing up he was sort of this like daredevil adrenaline junkie. He still is to an extent, and so everyone in the town, because he got in trouble, I think he got in fights, apparently he's broke every bone in his body, so the town kind of looks at him as this sort of troubled child,
like even unreliable, like can't trust him, he'll screw everything up.
Yeah, so even though he's now coming back to town, he's got to be in his late 20s. Yeah, I don't
they're
really
29.
Know. Is that how old they are?
Yeah, it's 12 years after graduation. They're 29 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Like, they're full-on adults.
Yeah, so he comes back to town. Essentially, he sees Olivia's birth father, who also left Olivia when she was younger, after her parents split up. So, and his name is Cole. And so Finn runs into him basically in a bar in Whistler. Mm-hmm. And that's when he like realizes, he's like, okay, I'm done like just missing her. I'm going to go back and I'm going to fix what happened, because he doesn't want to end up like Cole, who is very sad alone in this bar in Whistler.
Right.
So yeah, I found his character, I don't know, I really loved him and I had so much empathy for him, because we'll get more into this when we talk about Olivia's mom, but just the town in general, like the way that they treat him as just like, there's no room for him to change. Like, everyone views him as being what he was when he was 16, which, like, I don't know about you, but I am literally, so far away from the person I was at 16.
So far away. I actually have a lot of thoughts about this, about how much they bring up the past and how important, like, the past is to them now. Because it just feels like when I think about, like, myself in high school 12 years ago, like, that feels like a lifetime ago. And I don't remember most of it. So... Yeah, I don't know. It's, like, kind of sad. I felt bad for him.
Yeah, I feel really bad. And I think that's why, yeah, I mean, I would, like, even in most romance novels, I always have, like, problems with the male lead.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll like do something that's like very, I don't know, you know? Yeah. Yeah, like an ick, yeah. You know? This book never gave me an ick.
No, I agree. He was just like very sweet through and through. And like,
mm-hmm.
you could tell he was a good guy even when he probably was a teenager and was like making mistakes.
Yeah.
He was probably still like a really cute, sweet, nice guy. He just did dumb things. He was a child. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So he was very like genuine. He came off as just like a very genuine person.
Mm-hmm.
Loved him.
It's also really interesting that his brothers were also part of that, like bringing up the past mm-hmm. and like talking about like, oh, like, you know, can you actually do this with Olivia? Like, you know, should you be pursuing this? Because I just know, again, I haven't read the first three books, but I know that they probably played a role when they were young. Like they were probably the same because I've never, like, I had an older brother, but, like, I've never had multiple brothers. But all the people I know that have, like, multiple brothers, they all were in on stuff together as kids.
Absolutely.
Because they're, like, their first friends with each other.
And I think it's my understanding that Finn is the youngest out of them all.
Yeah.
So it's, like, no doubt he was following their lead.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of that just, so I really admired him and, like, the growth that he had
mm-hmm.
as a character and the way he behaved and how he took things and, you know, yeah, not like the typical things that we see in romance, like where there's like an anger issue, like stuff like that. Like he was very much just like, you know, he had grown. You could tell that he had actually worked through stuff. Maybe
totally.
He went to therapy. We don't know that for sure, but he could have.
He could have.
Yeah.
Also would have been admirable.
Yeah. Okay, so next up is Olivia. So she is living, well, they're both from the island, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, also, I guess back to, like, context that you get from the novel, Finn and Olivia are exactly the same age because they have the same birthday. And so they grew up as neighbors. That's why they were so close. So they were friends, basically, like, really close friends up until high school. And then in grade 12, basically at grad, Finn confesses his feelings and she reciprocates them. So they decide to be together, which lasts one whole night. Until, for reasons that we'll get to later, again, he leaves. And so then he's gone and he'll, like, come back intermittently for, like, weddings. And I think he comes back in the winter sometimes. Or no, he comes back to work in the summers. I forget what it is. But anyways, he'll sporadically come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, like, the only time Olivia sees him. But, yeah. So she is back in the town. She's been off at school, different, like, I think she went to UBC at one point.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, I think her, like, she was doing her PhD at UBC.
Okay, yeah. But now she's doing field work, so she's basically looking for this flower. I forget the name. I didn't write it down.
Did they say the name? I just remember pink flower.
Yeah,
they probably did.
I think at the end when they find it, it doesn't matter. They're looking for a pink flower, which is... She saw it when she was younger, and it's supposed to be this very resilient flower, and plant in general. And so her research is on resistance in plants to climate change. And so she's trying to find this flower, and she can't finish her research until she does. So this provides sort of the whole side plot to the book,
mm-hmm.
is her looking for this flower. And Finn at one point joins her. Against her wishes to go hike through the backcountry of the island to find this flower. I liked her. I mean, obviously. but I think they were such a good match. I think so. Like, so much of the banter and the chemistry, like we said earlier in this book, is so well established.
Mm-hmm. I liked her a lot, too. I have a feeling we probably, like, missed a little bit of character stuff from the first few books because she's one of the other female main characters' best friends.
Yeah.
Because she would say a lot that she's, like, she's grumpy and she's, like, kind of miserable, which she is sometimes. But I think Finn, like, brought out the best in her all the time, so we didn't actually see a lot of her being, like, that super grumpy person. So my, like, thought is we probably get a little bit more about her in some of the previous books.
Mm-hmm. I think that's totally fair, yeah, because mm-hmm. she's... I already forgot her name. Yeah.
Olivia. Oh, Sadie.
Yeah, Sadie.
The friend.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's her friend. And then she also knows, like, Hannah from one of the earlier books.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
she knows
kind of,
all,
like in
the
group.
Yeah.
Yeah. Already. So she knows the other brothers. And then, obviously, she knows Finn. Yeah. I don't, like, this is like bad for me to say, but I feel like I read this book just for Finn. Like, not in the way, like, not in a bad way, but just kind of like his character was genuinely so good that I sort of just wasn't paying as much attention to Olivia, because the book kind of was, in some way, like, it sort of made him more of the main character.
I agree. He was so fun and lovable, and she was just like, I think Finn just brought out the best in her, which made her, like, just kind of enjoyable. Like, she was, like, part of the plot that made Finn awesome.
Yeah, totally. Well, yeah, I mean, because if you think about it from, like, a comedic standpoint, like, he's, like, the punchline of the jokes. Like, he delivers punchlines, but she does all the setups. So, like, on all the antics, she sets up the antics, but then he, makes it funny. Yeah, which is, like, the funny part. Like, when she gets the beat-up minivan and he's, like, yelling at the window, being like, hey, look at Emmett, I bought the minivan. And just, like, bringing so much attention when she's, like, clearly, like, I regret doing this. Yeah. Like, that's the funny part. So that's kind of what stands out in your mind more so than her, like, you know, delivering the setup.
I agree.
Which, again, I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, I don't think it's a bad thing. I had, like, some I liked Olivia. I wanted her to grow faster a little bit. Like, sometimes I was kind of like, come around, like, just believe in Finn, because she really, like, she kind of had some of the same beliefs that the town had about him, like, getting bored of the town and leaving, which is kind of, like, the main, like, reason why she's fake dating him. I just wanted her to, like, figure it out faster, but I get that that's, like, what moved the plot along. I get that she had to, like, she had to give him a hard time, so it's fair.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. And this book still, like, it's, I think it's actually a decent length. And I say that maybe because right now I'm reading really long, like, unnecessarily long books. Like, they're, like, 600 pages on Kindle Unlimited. Yeah. And I'm like, this is so unnecessary.
Contemporary romances over 600 pages should be illegal.
Yeah. Over 400 pages. Like, let's be real.
Pucking around with 700 pages.
Yeah, well, that's the other reason I haven't read it yet. That's such ridiculous. No, and, like, and a lot of them don't use it well. Like, I remember we were talking about Mile High, and you messaged me, and you were, because I was like, oh, it's so good, but I actually like the second one better. And you were like, oh, if there's a third act breakup when it's this long, and
sure, I'm going to be pissed. And then there was. There was a third act breakup. I'm like, I mean, they should have got their crap together after, after 600 pages, please.
Yeah, and I think this book is just over 300.
Yes.
That's, like, the perfect length for contemporary romance.
350, like, between 350, 370 for contemporary romance. Perfect.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think all of it was utilized well.
I agree.
Nothing, like, dragged, because there was always, like, some sort of antic being delivered or, like, some scene that, like, kept you reading because you're engaged.
Yeah.
Okay, so I hinted at it long enough. Let's talk about this, like, town's problem with Finn, but also Olivia's mom's problem with Finn.
The villain of the story.
Yeah, she's the villain.
In my opinion.
I mean, she definitely is, like, the largest antagonist that we come across.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So essentially, we already kind of outlined this, that the town sort of views, and Olivia's mom is kind of like the leader of this belief, essentially. So there's, like, multiple points where she, like, tells Olivia to not, like, see him and is like, oh, he's bad news. She also saw him the night of their grad when they decided to be together, and basically, told him that he was holding Olivia back, and she wasn't going to go anywhere with him because he's a troublemaker.
And I believe that was, like, the catalyst to him leaving.
Oh, yeah.
It, like, 12 years ago, the reason why he left was because he felt, after speaking to his mom, he felt he wasn't good enough for Olivia anymore.
Yeah. Well, she definitely, like, what she said was essentially that. So then he fakes being drunk and, like, pushes her away. So that,
and left.
So she's mad, so then she leaves. He leaves. Yeah, but she sort of has, I forget her name. Is her name Jen?
Jen, that's
right. Yeah, I think that's her name.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jen has this, so she was obviously in a relationship with Cole, who, is Olivia's biological dad, and they split up, and he left them after they split up. And so she sort of has this, like, very negative outlook on Finn because of Cole, which, for me, my largest confusion is she's happily married to Joe, And they're like super in love. And he's like an amazing stepdad to her daughter. So I'm so confused as to why she holds on to all this, so like so much animosity to men. And I get that maybe it's a bit more specific to like, you know, what she views as being like an adrenaline junkie, like someone chasing more excitement. But it's still, I don't know. Yeah. But I know you have a lot of thoughts because you told me that.
I do have a lot of thoughts. And I think part of that animosity, I believe it was mentioned that Cole was actually Jen's childhood or like high school sweetheart because they got pregnant early at 20 years old. So maybe it's like she's making that connection.
Yeah,
that like
that's true.
Finn is also like her, you know, childhood sweetheart.
Yeah.
But she still holds this belief that Olivia's making some big mistake by getting back together with Finn at 29 years old. Like, they are adults. And one of the things that drove me so mad was when they were walking along the beach and Jen said to Olivia, I just don't want you to make the same mistakes that I made. She physically can't make the same mistakes that you made because
she's
29 years old.
Yeah.
She's not, if she has a baby, she's a full grown adult and she can deal with the consequences on her own. And she does not need her mother's approval for who she's with.
Yeah.
And yeah. It really bothered me.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, I would be absolutely livid at my parent if he ever did that, like to talk to a partner of mine and was like, you know, I think that you're bad news. Like, if you have concerns, talk to your kid by any means. Like, I tell my friends all the time that I'm worried about their partners. But no, but you don't like to meddle in that. Like, first of all, because even when they're 18, like, yeah, you're young and dumb when you're 18. No offense to all you 18-year-olds out there, but you are very young. it rubs me in such a bad way that she would hold so much judgment.
Yes.
And especially at the end, and I guess for me, maybe it's like not resolved because I feel like Olivia doesn't get mad enough, which is something I often encounter in books. I need more rage
from
characters.
Yeah.
Because in real life, I would be very like, I would let them have it.
Absolutely.
Which I like that she does confront her mom at the end, but I feel like it's not.
She was so gentle about it.
Yeah, it's so gentle. It's like, Mom, you should be nicer.
She just wasn't offended enough. Like, if I was Olivia, I would be so offended that my mother didn't have faith in me as like a full-grown adult woman who makes like is getting a PhD, who, you know, is making my own life choices at 29 years old. I'd be so offended that she didn't have faith in my like decision at that point. Like, I'm saying that he's good for me. Believe me. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's a yeah, and then it also, to me, it's like, it's so hypocritical because at the very end, when Olivia does confront her, so basically what happens towards, like, the climax of the story, I guess, is Finn is babysitting Cora, who is, I forget whose kid it is. It's one of the, like, the brother's kids.
One of the brothers.
And she runs away at the park to go pet Jen's dog because she knows, this kid knows who Jen is and she knows who the dog is. So Finn's freaking out looking for this kid. And then Jen makes him feel super ashamed and like he's a terrible person because this little kid ran away to pet a dog. And so he's like very humiliated and just kind of, and then I think they also like expand on how like everyone in the park is looking at him and it just becomes this like whole thing. So he's basically like
him failing again.
Yeah.
And everyone looking at him like he's that failure again.
Yeah. Like they expected it.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, oh, this makes sense. And so he's like, oh, I need space to, he says this to Olivia and then Olivia finds out. So we'll get to that actual ending. But, so when she confronts, and then Jen confesses that she lost Olivia in the grocery store once when she was a kid. And I was like, have you done no healing that you wouldn't acknowledge that you can make mistakes? Also, as someone who babysat as like a job for multiple years, I have lost kids. I've had kids eat toxic things. Like, are you kidding? And they don't die. I mean, I tell their parents. I'm very honest. But yeah, things happen. Kids are like very unpredictable. And you can't stare at them 24/7.
No. And that's like so far into the book at that point where Olivia has already said so much that like Finn is a good guy. I want to be with him and everything. And she still treats him so poorly when that happens, instead of like as a mother who's been through the same thing, being understanding and supportive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fan of Jen.
No, I think she could use some growth of her own.
I agree.
I did see that Stephanie has a bonus scene on her website.
Does she? I did not read it.
So I wonder what the bonus scene is.
Now I'm curious.
Yeah, me too. But anyways, we are going to take a very quick break. And then when we get back, maybe we'll talk about some of the romance and our favorite scenes, maybe. But yeah, don't go anywhere.
Back on May 18th. Brought to you by the Disability Foundation and hosted by Connector Society. The Abilities Expo brings together exhibitors, vendors, resources, guest speakers, and more to enrich the well-being and connectedness of the disability community. This year's theme is Adventure Awaits and features over 45 disability-focused exhibitors. Whether you're looking for adaptive activities to join the summer, inclusive travel opportunities, or resources to help you live life to the fullest with a disability, there's something for everyone. Presentations by Real Talk Sexual Health Education, Rick Hansen Foundation, and Fable Pathways. There will also be an interactive room where you can meet the assistance dogs from Leash of Hope, check out a trail rider, and even try your hand at wheelchair basketball. Join us on Thursday, May 18th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Roundhouse Community Center in Yale Town, Vancouver to find out what adventures await you.
Okay, let's see here. Blend equal parts science and stories. Add a few shakes of music and soundscape, and wrap it all up in a big question. How can we see this more than human world in a new light and take part in shaping a healthy Anthropocene? Catch Future Ecologies every Sunday at 8 a.m. on CITR.
The 22nd edition of DOXA Documentary Film Festival returns May 4th to May 14th, 2023, committed to cultivating curiosity and critical thought. DOXA will present both short and feature films from across Canada and around the globe, representing some of the best in documentary cinema. This year, DOXA is once again returning to local theaters. The in-person festival will include live conversations with filmmakers as well as industry-specific events. The festival program will be announced soon. Visit doxafestival.ca for more information.
TransCare BC works to enhance the coordination of trans health services across the province and offer expanded health services to support transgender communities. They are doing this by developing gender-affirming client-centered models of service, ensuring access to gender-affirming and supportive healthcare that is equitable and available, and supporting network development to make sure trans and gender-diverse individuals, their families, and healthcare providers have access to information, resources, and support. Check out phsa.ca to learn more about this program and lend your voice to help create an inclusive and supportive system for trans members of our community.
All right, we're back. You're listening to Dog Eared Radio Book Club. I'm Randy, your host, and I also am joined today by Amanda.
Hello.
And we are talking about Finn Rhodes Forever by Stephanie Archer. A sweet, 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 sweet book. and so before we were just talking about some of the character that we didn't really like and some of the more, I guess, like heavier topics in the book. Because mm-hmm. this book is like overall super lighthearted and just like a fun, easy read. But it does deal with like some of like a little bit heavier, right? Mm-hmm. Like mostly family dynamics.
Yes, yeah. It's like low angst in terms of relationship stuff, but yeah. like has some heavier family stuff yeah. going on.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, but now we want to talk about scenes in the book because, like, favorite scenes, because there are, like, a lot of, like, what you would classify as, like, scenes, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, clips from the book that you can kind of read. So I think we should start off the one that, like, establishes why Finn and Olivia spend so much time together. So this is like, so initially we started with a scene, we meet the two characters, and then Olivia is hiking in the backcountry, and I forget what happens, but she basically gets stuck. So, but she's prepared, so she's going to stay overnight, and then we hail a helicopter, and it turns out that one of her friends has called search and rescue. Well, who else works for Search and Rescue but Finn? And so we get them to meet. And then basically the captain of, I guess, the fire department / rescue. I don't know. Small towns, it's kind of like all one thing, yeah. I guess. She presents this presentation called Olivia Morgan, Misuse of Search and Rescue Funds, which is absolute. She creates it. So she delivers this presentation at a town meeting being like, Olivia is misusing town funds, which is absolutely wild. Like, it would never happen. But it's so perfect for this book. Like, mm-hmm. It's absolutely perfect to set up because they're basically like, you can't hike alone anymore. You should take someone with you. And who volunteers but Finn?
Obviously.
And so it sets up, like, forced proximity of why they're sending so much time together. And then in addition, he moves into the other bar apartment above the bar where Olivia lives. So, yeah, that's all, like, I think that's set up, like, really well. But, yeah, I just love how outrageous. Like, it gave me very, like, Hallmark movie vibes.
Mm-hmm. It was giving, like, Gilmore Girls town meeting vibes. Yeah. Like, the ridiculousness of it all. It was very funny.
Yeah. So that was really good. Do you want to go? Do you want to share a favorite scene?
I'm thinking I've got a few scenes and it's hard to choose what my favorite one is, but I don't know if you want to dive into, like, the bookstore theme.
That's on my list of favorite scenes. Yeah. I have four favorite scenes, so that's on my list. So let's talk about that one.
Okay. So one of the dates that Olivia sets up is to go to a book club, which is like a romance book club where Finn's mother attends.
And also Dot from the Doily Museum.
And Dot from the Doily Museum and one of his sister-in-laws. And they are discussing a alien romance novel. Yeah,
it's called The Warlord's Thunderous Desire. would absolutely read.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But yeah, so they're reading this book and they spend most of this book club scene discussing male bats. I was trying to think of the best word to use on the show. Appendages. That's a better one.
Yeah.
Bats is a little bit too. some might get it. But yeah, male appendages.
Yes. Yeah, there's very fancy male appendages in the alien romance genre.
At one point, it's described as being like a Subway sandwich.
By Finn's mother.
Yeah.
Which is very funny. Yeah. Like, he was so uncomfortable, but it was also the way he reacted was just, he's like, I'm going to get you back for this because it was so evil. And Elizabeth, the mother, Finn's mom, was so in on it. So she just like kept returning, just like kept saying, talking about alien appendages very outwardly. And it was like, it was just so funny. I honestly laughed out loud during that scene. It was so good.
Oh, I did too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I thought about like what the author Stephanie must like, how much you would be laughing writing this scene and how much fun it would be to write a scene like that.
Totally.
Yeah. I also like this movie to me, I both kind of like, oh, this would be so good as an adaptation, but you'd have to get the chemistry so good, which I never trust casting directors to do. But if it was, oh, that scene would be so funny to watch on screen.
You're just like picturing it in your head like a movie.
Yeah.
And it was so funny. So I think that scene would translate so well as like a TV show or something. It'd be really funny.
Yeah. It was very funny. So yeah, I really liked that scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another one that I have, let's do the double date with the Thompsons.
Oh my God.
So there's this couple in the book that and probably be mentioned in the earlier books as well. So it's established that they're like a mess. Like they fight with each other. They have spicy times in
public
spaces. Yeah. And they're just like very taut, like very just a mess.
Yeah.
And so they keep trying to invite Emmett and his wife, who's one of Finn's older, I think he's the oldest brother.
I think he's the oldest. I think is he the mayor? Is Emmett?
He is the mayor, and so they keep trying to invite them on a double date, and they're like, no. And then Olivia's like, oh, this would be amazing. Like, this is going to be a terrible date to get Finn to break up with me. And so she agrees to go, so they go. It is an awful date. It is so uncomfortable. The Thompsons are, like, fighting with each other and also explicitly talking about spicy time stuff.
And then they have some spicy times.
In the bathroom.
In the public
for
bathroom.
For the entire restaurant to overhear. And which the secondhand embarrassment of reading this scene was, it was so funny, but I was so embarrassed.
I was so uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would hate to be in a situation like that. And then they came out of the bathroom fighting.
Yeah.
And the one of the, she like splashed wine in his face. two glasses of wine in his face.
And then some of it also got on Olivia's horrendous dress.
Yes.
Which I love that because they're like kind of stunned because they basically throw one and then kind of I think they storm out or she storms out and then he follows and then they start making out in their vehicle. And Olivia and Finn are just like sitting there stunned and then Finn turns and goes, "Your dress." And like that's how I picture him saying it, like kind of like sarcastic, like, "Oh no, your dress is ruined. This horrible, horrendous, ugly dress is ruined." Yeah, I really like that.
I also loved how it led to another cute little scene between them where he was like, "Do you want to throw wine in my face?"
Yeah, they're like talking about the scene, like sitting on the couch, or well, the scene. They don't know it's a scene. They're talking about the double date. And he turns and he's like, "Do you want to throw wine on me?" I have that scene marked down because I think it is so cute. I know I'm using that word like so many times, but I think it's like such a fun scene because he's also like the willingness to do something so silly with Olivia. Like to me, that's like romance, right? Mm-hmm. That's like true love or whatever is like willing to be silly with someone.
I think that's part of like what made this book feel so romantic was because they always had these like really silly little moments that felt like so endearing and cute and like it was just like so sweet, like cute little moments between each other where they would just like do something silly or have like really funny banter or he would just like play into whatever Olivia's like ridiculous dates or jokes were, and that was like always what made it really cute.
Yeah. Yeah, do you have any favorite parts that I haven't? I say favorite, but it's like plural. Favorite parts.
For sure. Yeah, I liked the scene. So after the bookstore scene, Finn wants to get back at Olivia. And they have this baby shower planned with a bunch of male dancers that come to the baby shower. And Finn shows up and does a dance. And I thought that was so funny, like when he forced her up on the stage to volunteer her and like danced for her. Or I guess the whole fire department came and did a dance. And it was like so funny. I loved that scene too.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, if anyone ever did that to me, I would murder them because I cannot handle that type of attention. But I feel like it works so well because of their relationship and then also who Olivia is, right? Yeah. Because she is still like pretty open and like, you know, willing to embarrass herself in front of people she knows. I'm not. I don't know. Could you handle that happening to you?
I'm so about it. I think I could. Like, I think I would probably end up on stage, but I'd feign reluctance about it.
Yeah, you'd be like, I'm good.
No, not me.
Whereas I would literally run and hightail it out of there. I'd be gone so fast you wouldn't even know I was ever there.
Fair.
But yeah, no, that was a really also like a fun scene. I think the other thing I wanted to ask, because this book is like advertised as being like spicy small town romance. Would you, like, if someone was like, "I want to read, like, a very spicy book," would you recommend this?
I don't know if I'd recommend it as very spicy.
Yeah.
But it was. Like, it had good spice. Mm-hmm. And, like, Finn came out with the dirty talk, and I loved that. But I don't know if I would call it very spicy, but maybe I'm just, like, so... Like, I've read too much.
Oh,
now.
Same.
Yeah. I'm so desensitized to what very spicy is.
Yeah. You got to do a lot to shock me at this
point. Yeah. Like, if someone asked me for a spicy romance, I'd really need them to break down for me what they're looking for. Otherwise, they're getting something super weird.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's like my thing. I'm like, when you say spicy, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because. Yeah. No, I definitely agree. I think for me, it's just like I'm more and more confused why books have this like secondary title, because it's like, or like, I guess it's like a like an advertising tactic, I guess, because it'll be like a small town.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they're just trying to like attract people based on the tropes.
Yeah. But I don't, yeah, it definitely, it was like spicier than I anticipated because of Finn. But yeah, it wasn't like, I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, you want like a spicy book? Here you go.
Totally. Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was,
it was spicy. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's like spicy is so subjective, but like, I would say it was, like it was spicy.
Yeah. I learned that it's subjective. I thought we all agreed. And then I was on Book Talk and I was like, I was like, someone would give it like 5 chili peppers. And I was like,
pardon?
Are you sure? Like, I read this book when I was 16. Like, yeah. I don't know if we're on the same
page. And I don't know if that says something about them or says something about you.
I think it says something about us.
Probably.
Yeah, I'm always going to put it on myself. But yeah, I think, yeah, it was good. Okay, should we move? Should we talk about, like, I guess I kind of just want to end it off by talking about, like, the romance of this book. Because this is, like, literally, I think this is hands down the most romantic book I've ever read. Like, it just kind of, it's just in your face. Like, it's, like, every single thing Finn says. Like, my, I want to pull up some of my initial, I was going to bring my book journal to, like, read my review of this book, but I forgot it. That's okay. But I want to read some of my, like, thoughts that I wrote while, like, reading quotes, and maybe I'll read some of the quotes just to be fun. So let me find a really good one. Okay, well, I'm not gonna read this whole thing, but there's this scene where she's really cold, and so he is cuddling with her to keep her warm in a tent when they're out hiking. And this is my comment. I said, I swear to God, my heart melts when this man talks about her. And then when he did the scene where she gets, like, the battered minivan to drive around and he's, like, yelling at, like, Emmett and calling attention to it, I put several, like, heart emojis and then, like, laughing, crying emojis just, like, one after the other.
That was a great moment.
Yeah, it was amazing. And then at one point I just wrote, I love this man.
Fair.
And then later on I wrote, this man will be the death of me. From, like, sheer cuteness. Like, I was about to just, like, overload on how freaking sweet this person. Like, no human is this sweet. Like, this is amazing.
Can we talk about the birds?
Yeah, we have to talk about the birds. That was, like, my first thing I have in all caps on my notes. The bird cartoons.
The bird cartoons and the bird tattoos. He got a bird every year on their birthday when he left. And I thought that was the sweetest. That was the sweetest thing ever.
Yeah.
It's one of my highlights. And I love the birds. Yeah, he would draw her little bird cartoons every day, but he would draw them in like ways that were like reminiscent of something that they did together. He would like draw them as birds and like leave little post-its all over the place. Oh, it was so sweet.
Yeah, it was adorable.
Yeah.
Another thing he did is he gets a airplane with a banner to fly. This actually happens twice because Finn hires him one time and then at the end Olivia hires him. But the banner says Olivia Morgan loves Finn Rhodes forever, hence the title Finn Rhodes Forever.
Wow, I just made that connection. That's so smart.
Okay, but in all fairness, I only made the connection when I did my reread today. Okay. So don't feel bad. Okay, didn't. There were so many like. The author did such a good job of carrying things through in this book that there was so many connections to draw that, like, some of them slipped through. Yeah, he also brings cheesies on the hike.
Oh, the cheesies.
Yeah. Okay, this is my other thing. I know that some of these might be, like, very simplistic, and, like, that's my thing. Like, those are, like, low-bar things. And, like, that's why I didn't write for, like, a romantic moment. I didn't write down that he read all of her articles because, you should.
Cute too.
You should do that.
Of course.
But when you're reading these, everything counts, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think for me, because he is just a genuinely good guy and he genuinely loves her so much, the little things, like, matter more. Because they're not just, like, him meeting the bare minimum. Mm-hmm. They're just, like, a collection of how amazing he is doing.
And they're not just, like, really big gestures. They're not – it's not, like, something that he has to think about. Like, how can I do this big gesture for Olivia? They're, like, small things that just come naturally to him because he loves her so much. And that's what makes them so sweet is because they're, like, effortless to him. Like, he didn't tell her that he read all her articles and made notes in the margins. He just did it because he loved her. It was so sweet.
Yeah. No, I think that's a really good point. Like, he's not doing it to be like, oh, I did this.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, he would obviously do that.
Because he is just like effortless. I guess it's part of how he feels about her. He would do that for her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's so many more, but I feel like I want to talk about the ending.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, so we kind of already covered that the climax of the novel is him losing Cora while he's babysitting. Jen shames him, so he, like, he doesn't, I mean, he essentially runs away, but he basically just goes to stay with Beck, which is, like, he's still in town. Mm-hmm. He's just, like, I don't know, chilling, you know. I don't know what he's actually, I don't know what his plan is.
He's just sad. He's just hanging out, licking his wounds, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. And so, but then Olivia finds out what happens from her group chat with all of, I guess her soon-to-be sister-in-law.
The friends.
Wives? Yeah, the wives.
The wives.
The wives. The Rhodes wives, yes. I guess, would be their title. And yeah, so she finds out what happens. And she's, like, really upset that everyone would make him feel so ashamed. And, like, why would he feel that way? And so she kind of is like, oh, I love him. Like, I'm going to go get him. So she goes over to Finn's family. So the reason she does this is she's going to get a car. So she's going to get a green Porsche. And I'm going to read the kind of, like, explanation of the car. So this is, like, Finn's dad's car. Okay, so here we go. This is from the book. This is a quote. Sam Rhodes' green car has become a strange tradition among his sons. When the Rhodes boys knew that they had found the person they wanted to be with forever, they took her out in the vintage Porsche 911, a deep emerald green like the forest surrounding our town. Avery, Hannah, and Sadie had all been picked up in the car. End quote. So Finn, at the very beginning of the book, attempts to pick her up in this car, and she's like, no, mm-mm. I'm not getting in this car.
Yeah.
Because it's like a signal to the town that they're like it. And so her gesture, along with hiring the plane banner, which I think is just the cherry on top.
Yeah. But,
so she picks up this car, and she's like, I'm going to get Finn. And essentially she pulls up at Beck's house, like rings the doorbell. And Finn answers, and she's like, I love you. And then he sees the car, and, like, that's kind of, like, it.
Yeah.
Anyways, I really like that she went after him.
Me too. I'm glad she did. And I think it was, like, it was really smart of the author to do that. Because it was her that had to, like, make the realizations that he was here to stay. Finn was up front with her the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, it was, like, she had to, like, figure out and, like, forgive him for the past. So I do like that it was her that, like, she chased him in the end. And I like flipping it, like, how, like, in the past books, it was probably all the brothers that picked up the girls mm-hmm. in the car. And in this book, she picked him up in the car, and I loved that, like, flip.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I mean, I know that, like, character, like, what do you call, like, character series, they're always improved if you read them, like, mm-hmm. through. Like, starting at one or whatever. But yeah, no, I really, to me, like, it was the only way the ending was going to make sense. Like, I was initially, when they, like, he left, I was like, wait, like, he's not going to come back, though. Like, I don't know. To me, it just, like, didn't make sense story-wise. It made so much more sense, yeah, for her to go, because he was committed the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love the ending.
Me too. Surprise wedding was probably, like,
oh, yeah.
I love a surprise wedding, too. The epilogue, because they share a birthday, they invited the whole town to the bar to celebrate their birthday together. And then they ended up getting surprise married. And I love that. I've actually been to a surprise wedding before, and it was awesome.
That's so fun. I feel like I want to do that.
Me too. Actually, I've had that conversation with my partner. So I only think one of my family members is listening. So if you heard that, no, you didn't. But
I'll just edit that out before I post it to the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Me and my partner have talked about doing that because I think it would be so funny. Like, sort of shock everybody. Like, just kidding. We're actually getting married. And then it's, like, so low-key.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Because I like the idea of, like, an intimate wedding and stuff.
Yeah, oh, me too.
I think they can get so out of hand. So I think having, you know, something very special.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved the surprise wedding. I thought it was very cute.
Yeah. Okay, well, we are coming to the end of our time.
So fast.
I know, yeah. But I think we covered a lot.
We did.
I mean, I could gush about Finn for more, but if you want to hear that, please join my Patreon. No, I'm just kidding.
I would do it.
Yeah, just like me rambling bonus content about books. That's exactly what YouTubers, like, their Patreons are mostly just like extra content that's not good enough to put on their main channel.
You say it's a joke, but like, people will pay to listen to that.
Okay.
I want to hear people ramble about books. I really do.
Yeah. And if you want to ramble about books, anyone listening, please email me at dog-eared-book-club-radio@gmail.com or find me on Instagram at dog-eared-radio-book-club and be a guest on my show. Like I said, they're pre-recorded, which means they'll be recorded over Zoom. So you can be anywhere in the world and be on the show. Yeah. Anywhere in the world and be on the show. And this season, I didn't even say that at the beginning of the show, I forgot. But season six is called Summer of Love, which mainly focusing on romance novels, but also I also want to hear about the books that you love. So if the book you love is not romance, convince me that I should read it, and maybe I will. I'm just kidding. I probably will. But yeah, if you want to be on my show, please let me know. But in the meantime, go read this book. I think people should read this book.
I think so too. And I'm definitely going back to read the rest of the series because I liked it. When I need something sweet and devourable.
Yes.
This will be it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can do like we did, you know, go read this book. Or you could start the whole series. You know, I'm sure no one's going to complain. Stephanie's not going to complain.
No.
But yeah, also, I think we already said this, but it's very, it is set in the summer. It is set in Vancouver. Well, it's Vancouver Island. West Coast vibes, I guess. But yeah, super sweet. Thank you again, Amanda, for coming on my show.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always a blast to talk about romance books with a fellow romance book lover.
It really is. Yeah, we have a lot of fun.
We do. Okay. Well, the sun is shining right in my eyes, so I'm going to cut this for the end of the episode. But I hope everyone has a fantastic rest of their night, and I will see you again in 2 weeks.